Hi, and welcome to Divine Intervention from Dark to Light. I'm your host, Karen Young, and I'm also a spiritual teacher. The purpose of this show is to gather experience and give voice to the untold stories of the divine and how the divine intervened in your life and made a difference. I have questions. Have you ever experienced a dream of wonder and warning and had divine healing, felt intuition? Voice of a higher power, been touched by an angel, near-death experience, or had a vision that resulted into divine intervention? If so, I would love to hear from you at 1-888-627-6008. Again, 1-888-627-6008. And I also want to say that this is a non-judgmental environment. This is a healing space. Telling your stories can possibly heal yourself or others. And there is a higher calling on your life. And this evening, I would like to talk about, can we contact our loved ones after death, or can our loved ones contact us? And this is a very interesting question to me because I've been contacted by my loved ones. And if anybody had some loved ones that died, I'm sure we all have friends or somebody that's close to you that died, and you just feel like, you know, they're gone forever, and which it does feel like they're gone forever. And then one aspect of it, they're gone, and you can't talk to them the same way you talked to them when they were living. You can't touch them or anything, but they're still around. And I don't want to spook anybody this evening, but I just wanted to say that my experience of my loved ones and my friends and the ones that's passed over and my experience of feeling them or seeing them or having them in my dreams to let us know that, one, that we're not alone on this planet Earth, that they're still around us, they still love us. Maybe people still, you know this already, that's fine. If you still know it, then you can relate to me. The people who don't know it and just feel like your loved ones are gone forever, then I want to enlighten you, they're here and they always will be here for you in your life. And that we can communicate with our loved ones or friends or whatever that's departed from us. If we're open-minded, see, we got to be open-minded. We can still communicate, but I just want to, you know, say that they're still around. And also like to give experience of my own to share to the audience, to divine audience that, yes, to me, knowing this, it's also proof. I always want, because we're always down here. We really don't know if we're alone. Did God just drop us off? You know, our parents drop us off down here. We don't know a lot. We don't know what's going on. I mean, we do know some things, but if we're just dealing with our five senses and we're just touching and feeling and knowing that's all there is. And when our loved ones pass away, say our baby, we have some tragic deaths. Brothers or sisters pass on in certain kind of ways. We like, they're gone forever. They're gone from my heart. You know, you just have a memory. But I'm just saying that I believe, and in my knowing, that they're still around. And in order to, and sometimes you don't even have to be open-minded. It can just happen to you if you have that spirit of openness that they can kind of contact with you. If you shut down and everything and you're scared, you won't probably hear from them or feel them as much if you're really shut down or you hurt or, you know, you can't feel your loved ones or you can't feel the spirit of them because you feel like they're gone forever. But anyway, I'm just telling you my experience. My experience when I was a young girl, anybody passing away or anything, I didn't know why I was always so scared. I was just scared as a young child. Ever since I didn't know that many people that died, but my brother, I think that's my first real memory of somebody dying back in like 1977. It might have been 78, 77, something like that, 76 or 77, that the real person that, you know, that was close to me, that I knew that was close because all my friends were living. Nobody I knew that died because I was young. But, and I think I had to have been about maybe 10 or 11. I don't know. But about that age. But my brother, his girlfriend was murdered. I mean, I don't want to start it off, but she was murdered. He found her murdered. It was a terrible tragedy to him. It took him a long time. He's still getting over it even today. I mean, he's better than he was back then, but he was a younger man back then. And that tragedy where he, saw his love, his woman being was killed in his apartment when he came home from work. I don't know what happened, what she did, because I was young. And but the fact that he came in and witnessed that, I knew it was a big deal. It was, scary hearing that somebody was actually murdered. I remember saying, "Murder." I mean, we knew her, when she visited us sometime with my brother, and it was such a tragedy, and it was such a shock, and it just shocked our whole entire family. It was like we just couldn't believe it. We just could not believe it. And she happened to die the same day the mayor of Chicago. So a lot of stuff was going on with the mayor. You couldn't really hear. Everything was about the mayor, but this was here was personal to us. And I remember me being that young girl, like, oh my God, somebody actually murdered and that I know, and it's my brother's girlfriend. I mean, my heart beat, my heart sank. I mean, she was killed. Somebody had took the laces of her shoes and tied her by the neck and hung her, and he had to unhang her and get her on the mattress, take care of her until the ambulance came, and she was really dead. I don't know what happened. I don't know all the. I know he blamed himself that he wasn't there at the time. He was at work, and all kind of stuff. But it was just a big upheaval. Meaning this was my first traumatic death. I mean, somebody, this is real out here. Somebody actually got killed, and so I remember me couldn't sleep. I couldn't really. My heart went out, and me and my sister, we all get in the bed together, and we'll get in the bed together and hold each other, and we'd be scared to go to sleep. We'd be scared, so scared to go to sleep. And I know why I was so scared to go to sleep, guys, when people died, even as I grew up. I was scared to go to sleep. Either I felt like I was going to feel them or see them. But I didn't know. I know now that's why I was scared. But then I was just scared because they died. But I know that in my heart, I felt like I'm going to see somebody or I'm feeling somebody. And that was uncomfortable. And when you're a child like that, it's uncomfortable. So for years, I just was uncomfortable about people dying. Relatives dying and stuff like that, because I felt, I feel like I felt like I was going to see them or feel them or they were going to be in the room. And the truth of the matter is they were. And that's what I'm here to talk about when I got myself together, got older, got spiritual, and got to know myself better. And I was open to, death or dying or whatever a little bit better. But I've always been sort of like scared of that, but I'm just letting you know they're always around us, and they're willing to, and they're a light on the other side. They know, God and Jesus, and they're here to help us on the other side, and they're here to reassure us that whatever tragedy they have in this life, they're not having that experience in the true life, because that's the real life. We're in the life and temporary life, but they're in the real everlasting life, and they're not having those experiences. They got insight, and they can give us insight, and they can give us love. But if we're scared of them, if we shun down from them, or if we shut down, we can't hear the messages that they're trying to give you. But they know all the updates. They know everything that's going on because they're here and now, and they're not with all this lower energy and lower vibration and everything like that, but they can communicate. And I just wanted to say, if you lost a loved one, or if you feeling like they're gone, and they're, you did see them go on the ground, you did see them, lower that, casket and all that stuff. That was real. I mean, it really was. But whatever it was that animated them, the spirit that was in them, the divine that was in them, that lifted, that spirit is still here. And people say, well, they're in heaven. I don't know that part, but I know my experience is that they're still here and they're still around us, and they're willing to communicate if we're open to communicate. If we, like I said, if we're afraid like I was or anybody else is, or you don't believe in it or whatever, they're just gone. They're gone when you're gone. Then you can't communicate with your loved ones. But I'll just give you some, you know, insight with what happened to me and how I experienced this and what I saw and felt in my experiences. So I had several of them that died. My mother, when she was passing away and stuff like that, and she had cancer, lung cancer. It was a long battle. I talked to the doctor. I came in. I was 33 then, and I came in the hospital, and they was telling me, your mom is sick, you know, and she had been sick for a while, but this is down to the last days and stuff like that. And I, of course, I was upset, like everybody else, upset with your, you know, when your mom passed. And they said that she had 6 months to live. And I'm like, oh, my God, my heart went out. I'm like, what am I going to do without my mom? What am I going to do without my love, my mother? My mother was everything to me. She's the reason why I'm the woman that I am today. And if anybody can relate to their mom, so, you know, the loved ones are really important. And she, you know, taught me everything. And dad, too. Dad passed along, too. But I'm talking about mom at this particular time, passed on. And it's still hard for me, you know. But she passed on. And that was in 2001. 2001, she passed. And so I was going back and forth to the hospital with her, telling her I love her, you know, reassuring her. And I told her, you know, toward the end, Mom, you don't have to, it looked like she was hanging on. And I was telling her, giving her permission, like, Mom, you can go. You know, I'm telling her she can go, but really, I really don't want my mom to go. Okay, guys, I really don't want my mom to go. My heart is like, I want to keep my mom as long as, but my mom was in her 70s or early 70s or whatever. She had lived her life for real. I mean, but to me, I just never want my mom to go. If she was here now, I just wouldn't want her to go. But she was ill. I mean, cancer is painful and stuff like that. Eating through her, she was thin, you know, she was, you know, sick. And so eventually I just said, Mom, let go. And then I guess it was a brother, my brothers and them come. I think she was holding on for them to come and see her. And each of us had to, we got 11 brothers and sisters at the time. I got a sister that passed, but we all had to see her, and she had to see everybody. And I think it was just one brother. My brother Chuck, he just didn't want to go to the hospital, and that made her, you know, hold on longer. But anyway, he eventually got there, and the family knew, you know, she passed away. And when I got the phone call, when my niece told me that, I was just devastated. And I'm like, oh, my God, my mom passed, you know. My niece would say, yeah, just on the phone, she passed. So we had the funeral. We had all that. To make a long story short, you know, you have the funeral. They do lower it, everything. But I just was unrest, guys. I was like, I just still wanted my mom. So when you in spirit, your mom's still around you. I could feel my mom around me. I could feel her. You know, when I went to sleep, I could feel her around me stronger. Matter of fact, when she was passing, I could feel her energy. But when she passed, I could just feel her around me. But I was just sick about my mom. So even months later, you know, it just took me a long time to get to a point where I just could not get over it. Okay. And I would go to bed, and I guess in my subconscious mind, God, I would just say, Mom, why did you die? I just didn't. I said, yeah, she can go. I did give the permission. I said, yes, but I don't think I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it. So anyway, I just kept saying, Mom, why did you die? Why? Just over and over. Mom, why did you have to leave? And so there I had a dream. I had a dream, because they will visit you. So you have visitations from them. I've had them visitations in the dream or without it. But this one appeared to me in a dream. And just letting you know, they are around. And she said, and in my dream, I kept on, you know, with this why. And I said in my dream, she was I was on one side. We were like having lunch in my dream. It was like a real dream. I was me, she was her. And I asked her, because I guess this going question in my mind was on and on. Why did you leave? Why did you leave? So I said, Mom, why did you have to leave? And she told me right in my dream, she said, Karen, I had to go. She said, I had to go. She told me just like that, my dream. And so that's what I know. When I woke up, I began to cry because it was so real, but really, it was real. Because after I had that dream, she told me straight up, she told me straight up, Karen, I had to die. I never had any more questions about it. She cleared that up for me. So this is possible that your loved ones can hear you. They can hear your heart. I think I was asking it out loud, but I was asking it within myself, within my soul too. And in my dream, she appeared to me. And so that was not the only time my mother appeared to me. So I just tell you, my experience that they really are still here with you. And so the next instance I had was that was in I think 2000. That was a couple years after she died that I continued to do that. But this was early on after she passed away that this incident happened. And I'll tell you how I was, it was confirmed to me that this was her. Okay. So this day, I don't know, I forgot what it was that I didn't go to work this day. I might have had a doctor's appointment. I don't remember. It's like in the early 2000s. It was, I didn't have to go to work. I had to go to the doctor's appointment, whatever it was. But when I got quiet in my house, I parked my, car. I opened up the door. My son was at school. It was just me, just the both of us at the time, because I have a daughter now. But at that time, it was just me and my son. And I went home. It was just quiet in my house because it is quiet. But I'm just saying, it just seemed like it was extra. I don't know. It was just a feeling in my home. And I sat down and I said, oh, wow. And let me do a backstory. When my mom was living, she taught me how to make tuna fish, among a lot of stuff. But she taught me how to, I wanted to make tuna fish and stuff when I was younger. And when I started making it, she loved it, my tuna fish. In other words, she was like, Karen, make me some tuna fish and stuff like that. And she, she liked it the way she said it tastes really good when I was coming up and stuff like that. Just to give you a background, she liked it, my tuna fish, when I was coming up, when I was a girl, when I was a teenager. And so this particular day, I couldn't figure out what I wanted to eat when I came home from the doctor's office. I was thinking, maybe I should make some tuna fish. And I was pondering, I should make some tuna fish and stuff. And my mother appeared. I could feel her, guys. I could feel her. I don't know. I didn't see her, but I can feel her and I could hear her. I don't want to spook nobody this but I'm just letting you know. I mean, they can come in any way if you believe in this. If you don't, that's fine. But I'm just letting you know, spirits don't die. They're here. And I heard her say, and this scared me, guys. I was there and she was like, Karen, I liked it the way you made a tuna fish. I could hear her. I could hear her talking to me. I'm like, huh? She said, I like the way you made tuna fish. She said, you should make some. And I'm like, my mother, that scared me. Guys, I got up. I did not make the tuna fish because this spirit was actually talking to me. I'm telling you, I had to get in a way where I can be comfortable with the spirits talking to me and dealing with me. So I got up. I said, I don't know what's going on. I really got scared. It was just me, it was just me in the house. So I'm like, oh my God, my heart started beating. I started sweating. I'm like, oh my God, my mom talking to me. Did I hear her? Am I going crazy? What? I just got real nervous. I said, I'm just going to go to bed. I, took my clothes off and, I mean, my shoes off. I didn't really fully undress because it was still early, but it was around maybe noon or maybe 11 something. I just got scared and I went to bed, guys. I put the covers over my head and I went to bed. I went to sleep. I just didn't want to deal with it. I didn't want to deal with it. Okay. So here's the part. So I didn't want to deal with it. I went on the bed. So covered on up. When my son get out at about 2:30, kid you not, 2:30 p.m. or 3 o'clock when they get out of school, because he was in high school at the time. He comes home. I tell you, I didn't say anything because I was spooked myself. I didn't say a word. I just said, "Hey, Antoine." I said, "How you doing? How was your day?" And he was like, "Oh, hey, Mom." He said, "Guys, I'm telling you, this is true. This is a true story." He said, "Mom, Grandmom was here." I said, "You all should have, woo, you should have heard at this." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "I feel like Grandma was here." I said, "What you mean, Grandma?" Because his mother, other grandmother on his father's side, is still living. So I'm thinking, okay, now this is getting really crazy. So he says, "Grandma, Grandma, your mother." I said, "My mother?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I feel she was here. She's here." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Mama, I feel grandmama in here." And so, and that's all. He didn't really. He just said, "I feel like she's here." And he went on. He had his books and he went on into, and it scared the heebie-jeebies out of me. But what it did, guys, it confirmed what I felt and heard earlier. And this is still proof that divine is here all the time, and proof that we're not down here by ourselves. And I say, you guys probably say, yes, it's proof for me, but it's proof for you guys too, if you're willing to be open for this kind of interaction. But I didn't even ask for it at the time. It just happened. I guess I was open in some kind of way where this could happen. But this was proof to me. I guess my mom said, you didn't believe that. Well, she lingered, and so my son felt it. He said she was here, because I even tried to say, "Your grandmother," I even said, "Your grandmother on your father's side." I said, "Mrs. Hill." He said, "No, your mom, mama, your mom, grandma." That I said, "They just passed." He said, "Yeah, they just passed. She was here. She is here." And went on in his books and closed the door and went in his room. And it gave me confirmation. I said, "Whoa, whoa, wait a minute." It kind of scared me, but it's like, okay, all right, you're not crazy. You did feel her and you did hear her. So it just let me know. So then after that, I could be more open. But I'm gonna tell you what happened, guys. I'm gonna tell you what happened when I got open. Okay, all right. So I did get open. After that, I was like, okay, Mom was here and spirits do live. But boy, did they come. I mean, I'm not trying to scare anybody, but I was open enough so they came. My cousin that passed away in 1992, when I moved in my house, his daughter contacted me. My cousin, we hadn't seen each other in a long, long time, for years. Her name was Lisa. She found out. We were so happy to see each other. I mean, contact each other over the phone. And we, I don't know how long it's been, but it was 15 years or more that we hadn't saw each other. But she was coming to town. She was coming to my house, and her father visit me, okay? He was happy. He was like, "Lisa coming." I'm like, "What's going on?" Guys, really, I had opened up something. Like, he was happy. It was like, "Lisa's coming. Lisa's coming." I'm like, "Oh my God!" And so it became, it became that I could feel them, guys. And I think I was open for that, so I can feel the truth that they're not gone anywhere, and I could understand it better. But boy, was I bombarded after that. I'm like, oh my God, this is my cousin. His name was Donald. And he was happy that Lisa coming. And he was telling me Lisa was coming. I could feel him saying, "Lisa's coming, Lisa's coming." And I'm like, oh my God. So what happened was I learned how to deal with them, but it became a little too much. As if I could say that, it came too much because I had felt, I moved in my house. I had felt the owner's husband downstairs in my house. Not saying he these spirits didn't are not hurting me or anything, because God is powerful, and the divine is over all this, and this is nothing spooky or woo-woo. I'm just telling you my experience. But I'm just telling you that my experience, to let you know that people, and this, he's wasn't a loved one. I just felt his spirit down in my house, and it looked like he wanted to make sure the house was okay or whatever. He was down in the basement, and I asked him politely. I said, "God, would you remove him to the light? Everything is all right." And I told him, I said, "Everything is fine." It's like I could feel him, a male, an older male down in the basement. I could feel him. So I began to interact with my spiritual side, and you can do the same thing. I ain't saying you got to have all the spirits on. I'm just saying with your loved ones. But I was beginning to feel things going on with me as far as on the spiritual side. I started learning more about myself and my spiritual side, and contacting the loved ones, or the loved ones contacting me, or feeling different things. And not being so afraid like I was when I was younger. And now I know why I was afraid when I was younger, because I actually could feel and see them. My thing is, some people can see them. I could see them sometime, but more my, I'm an empath. I can kind of feel the spirit. And then I've heard, like I said, I heard my mother. But I don't always hear them, but I can always feel them, and I could they could come to me in my dreams. So it's several ways. And my uncle had came to me. I'm back up with my mom again. So it was things too. I missed something too before my mom passed. He came to me. Reason why I'm telling you this part is because I wasn't asleep at the time, but I was between sleeps, and he told me, he said, and he was passed away, but he was passed before my mom, and he told me he was coming to get my mom, and I recognized his voice, Uncle Wilbur. He was my uncle, and it's Uncle Wilbur, and he came, and he was like, "I'm coming to get your mom." He was trying to, I guess he was trying to prepare me, or you know, and that's what they do. They try to prepare you or comfort you in some kind of way, you know. So I just wanted to talk about this subject because, you know, so many people losing people left and right, and they just feel like they're gone, and they're not. They're in a different way. They're in a different form, and you still can communicate the way you've been communicating, but it's just in a different form. You know, you can talk to them or communicate with them, and they'll hear you. And if you want, after you get confirmation, you can get it. I didn't ask for confirmation from my mom, but my son gave me confirmation. But I think you can, you know, if this is really you, show me or reveal it to me, you can ask. But often, you know, it'll come or it won't. I don't say if it won't all the time, but if you're curious, I believe you can ask for confirmation, or you can just feel it, you can know it. So that's what happened with my uncle, and he came to me. But then I just have stories on a lot of this because I experienced it. So I think in 2000, and it might have been 2006, I'm not sure, 2003, 2000, no, 2006. Yeah, my niece, they lost their father. Probably in 2001, my niece and nephew. I got my sister. Her name is Jeanette. She has three kids, and they've lost their father. And I knew of him. I know him. His name is Patrick and stuff like that. But we weren't really all this close and all this stuff. I mean, I knew that, you know, they missed their father and loved their father over the years. They missed him, but I wasn't particularly close. But for some reason, I was open for this. And so this was in a dream, though. I lay down and had a dream that Pat had contacted me, Patrick had contacted me, and he told me, he was like, "Wow, hello? Hello?" He screamed.
Oh, you're still on.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm sorry. He contacted me in a dream, and he said, He said, talk to my, he just told me, he said, I have a message for my kids. He told me who was going to be at the 4th of July picnic. He told me everything. He said, tell them I love them. I miss them. This was in a dream. He said, I love them. I miss them. He said, Kelly's going to be there. That's my niece. He said, Corey's going to be. I never see his son, Corey. He just don't ever be around. But he told me who's going to be there. He told me Kedar was going to be there. And he mentioned my sister had another baby, but he mentioned him, but the baby's passed. And he said, well, he's not going to be there. But he said the three, his children. Okay, guys? His children. And he said, their names, it said all of them, they're going to be there. This is a dream, guys. We were planning on going to 4th of July in Peoria, Illinois, and to the 4th. And I'm like, okay. I got up and I'm like, shoot, Pat, don't never, I never hear from him. It was just a clear dream. And it was a message to tell his kids, each of them, that he loved them. And the truth of the matter is, I didn't think that one son was coming, Corey. I didn't think he was coming. And so I'm like, oh my God. So we went, the family packed up. We got in the cars and everything. We drove and everything. I'm telling you, I didn't know Corey was going to be there. I knew Kedar was going to be there, my sister, Kelly, his sister, but Corey never comes. I hadn't seen him in years. When I went to the 4th of July dinner, all my relatives was there. They like, oh, hey, Karen, how you doing? There was Corey, all of them, all three of his kids. And it just hit me in a way like, oh my God. I'm saying to myself, like, what is going on here? What is going? I said, I'm gonna have to tell him. I'm gonna have to tell them what he said. I'm gonna have to tell him. So I did. I said, Kelly and Corey and Keita, I said, it's something I have to tell you. Don't think I'm crazy. I had a dream last night or 2 nights ago that you guys was gonna be here. I didn't even know Corey, you was gonna be here, and I told them, and they was receptive to it. I guess my family's receptive to, all the woo-woo stuff anyway, that they don't think it's kind of out there. But I did tell each of them. I said, listen, I said, your father came to me in a dream. He told me he loved you, he missed you. And he told me, I told him, Kelly, his daughter, he said, he loved you, Kelly. He missed you. I gave the message. I said, he said he loved you and he missed you. And I just gave them the message. And I felt better after that. And I was okay with it. I was okay with it. And that let me know. It's like, okay, Karen, you are, communicating. There's nothing wrong with it. It's like, it's just, it made me trust myself in the spirit, so much more. It made me trust my spirit so much. So after that, you guys, it just didn't start. I'm just gonna continue. So my girlfriend's brother died here 2018. This is recent. Okay, Marlon died. My girlfriend called me up. She's like, I didn't even know he was going to die because he's like a brother. I knew him since he was 9. He was about 39 then. So, me and my girlfriend know each other for a long time. Anyway, we're best girlfriends. I was going to see my sister going to the hospital, and she was going to see her brother. She called me. She said, Karen, Marlon's in the hospital. Something has happened to him. I said, girl, I can't get to the hospital right now. I'm going to check on my sister and see if she all right. She has pneumonia. So I was going in opposite directions. So she was going in. I'm like, I'll pray for you. She said, she'll pray for me. But I had no idea her brother was really going to pass. I didn't know he was going to die. So I get to my sister and she's okay. She had pneumonia. She was in the hospital. I checked on her. And then she calls me later, her mother crying. She's crying on it. On the phone, and they're in the hospital. Said Marlon don't look good. He's got leukemia or whatever, blood disease, whatever. And I'm thinking this is my brother because he was like a brother to me. I'm like, oh my God, Marlon has some health problems. He was overweighted, things were not looking well for him, and I think he was sick and didn't tell him. But anyway, I prayed really hard. I'm like, God, please save him. You want that for him, and I'm like, save him. But I get up in the morning, And I tell you, spirit works with me too. I'm going upstairs and into my job. I'm up the escalator. It just feel like a voice or something said, "Marlon has passed. He's not gonna make it." And I'm like, "Oh my God!" I just got paralyzed right there. I'm like, it was no denying. I could feel it. By the time she called me and told me that Marlon, I knew he had passed. But anyway, what I'm saying is that he passed. We went to his funeral. I cried, everything, like I said, they put them in the ground and all that. And that was like 2 years ago, or was it a year ago? This is 2019, I think. It's 2018. So it was a year ago in April or something like that. He passed. This April came, and my girlfriend called me and said her daughter's having a party. She said, my daughter's having a party, Karen. I want you to come. I said, yeah, I'll come with Alicia party. That's my goddaughter. I said, I'll be there and everything. I'll be there tomorrow. I goes to sleep before, it's between sleeps this time, that the brother come to me in visitation. And he says, Karen, I'm coming to the party. I know it sounds, crazy, but he did. He communicated to me that he was coming to the party. He said, I'm coming to the party. This time, I was aware of the spirit. I just asked him, do he have a message? That's how I kind of deal with it now. I'm not so scared. I can communicate. So I said, do you have a message for him? He said, no, I just want to let and to let them know that I'm always around, and that I'm going to be there, and I'm always around. So he really didn't have a message. He was just letting me know. So I know to myself that I am open to this visitation from loved ones and from people. And I guess I'm trying to say that if you're open enough and you're not afraid and you don't shut down, you can communicate in a way. So anyway, he said he was coming. I didn't tell my friend. I just told her recently, here, but that was in April. I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything about that. I didn't want to woo-woo her out on the at the party, but I just kept it within myself that Marlon must be here at the party. I could feel his presence and stuff like that. But I have more because, it happens to me this way because I guess I'm open to it and I'm receptive to it now. But I feel like I can communicate better at it. So here's another niece. Her name's Lisa. Okay. Her mother passed about a year ago. Okay. And mother passed about a year ago in April as well. And it was real heartfelt to the family. I went to her funeral. I cried. I held my niece. I talked to her. I talked to them. We all were hurt. She was sick. She was smoking too. She had problems with her lungs and stuff like that. Smoking is not good. My mom had as well the same type of problems. So she passed away. And we went to the funeral and things like that. So what happened was that happened in April. This what I'm telling the story is going to be in November of last year, just around this time last year. Okay. Which before this, I would get in my car and drive, and a certain song come on that she liked a lot would come on. It was a song she liked, and I would think of her, and I could feel her spirit in my car. I could feel, and I talked to her. I know it sounds crazy. I said, "Hey, that's your song. You always love that, Rosalind." Her name was Rosalind. I said, "You love that song, and I love you, and I just, I acknowledge it, and the spirit, and me acknowledging it, you can feel it more if you acknowledge it." So anyway, I acknowledge her after she deaf. But anyway, I'm getting to the story. I went to sleep around this time. It's around November of last year. Went to sleep. Rosalind come into my dreams and my sleep, and in between my sleep, she's telling me to call her daughter Lisa. I'm like, I'm asleep. I didn't adhere to it the first time. So I guess, she came again. She was like, call Lisa. You need to check on Lisa because Lisa's one of my niece I'm really close to with. And she know we're close and we've always been close. She's saying, check on Lisa, like she's living, guys. She's telling me in my sleep. So one day I got up at the, I guess the third day, I'm like, I'm okay. Okay. That's what I said. I said, I'm going to call Lisa. I didn't know why I was calling Lisa. I didn't know what was going on with Lisa. I just said, I'm going to call because you know, it's like ghosts. If you've seen ghosts and Whoopi Go, it wasn't it's quite like that. But, you know, she was kind of, in between my dreams, telling me to call, impressions of calling her daughter. So it wasn't that dramatic, but she was telling me. And so I said, okay, let me just call Lisa. So the first couple of times I called Lisa, Lisa didn't want to answer. I don't know. She just was kind of avoiding me, I felt. And so I call again, and she was like, okay, how you doing? I said, how are you? And I told her right off, I said, listen, I said, how you doing? I said, because I said, your mother visited me. I could talk to her like that because, like I said, my family's not scared of that. So she keep visiting me saying to call you. I said, I don't know what's going on. I said, well, to call you. And then she told me the truth. She ended up telling me, she said, no, she said, did my mama tell you to tell me to come to Thanksgiving dinner? I said, no. I said, no, that wasn't the message. I said, she didn't give me no message. She told me to just call you. So she ended up telling me the truth. I lost my job. She said, I lost my job and I'm feeling down. And so I said, oh my God. And it occurred to me. I didn't know why she, I know this seems simple, but this is what happened to me, and this is what I believe. And so I began to comfort my niece and stuff like that, and really talk to her and tell her, you done lost your mom. Now you done lost your job. Maybe you just need to take a couple, months off, and when the spring come, you can go on and, get a better job, or when you're in a better state, you just lost your mom. So maybe you just need to take off. And she did. She took off and for a while, and she has a nice job and stuff. Now she's doing well and everything like that. But what I'm saying is, when you're open and you're receptive to things, you can get answers, and they're not here to hurt you or bother you. They're just here to help you. They know their loved ones is hurting because they're gone, and they just need an opening. Somebody that's open to a spirit to spirit that's open enough for them to get in to help, basically, and to guide and to assist on the other side, because that's where God is. He's on this side, he's on the other side, he's here, he's everywhere. So it's like God is, sending them through spirit and the angel part of it too. And I feel angels too, guys. And I don't want to get too deep, but I feel angels. I feel my guides. I feel all that. And we all have it. I just want to say we can all tap into it if we're open to tapping into our angels and our guides, and they can tell us what's going on. And you can feel them, and you can talk to them, and they will appear to you. Sometimes people have seen them. I have not seen my angel, but I can feel my angels. It's more than one. So I'm here to say that I am proof of that, and I've gotten my own confirmation of that, because a lot of things I didn't know prior to that I knew after I got the information that was given to me. So I know that your loved ones are here. They want to contact you, and they love you, your mother, your father, or your child, anybody that you got. Was killed, your friend, or anything like that, they're there. And they're loving, they're the same way, but they don't have the stuff that we have, all the junk that we have that we bought down here. They're at another space. They're at the divine space where they can help. They don't have the baggage, and they are not at the lower vibration that we are at. So we can use that help from our loved ones. and we can still be there. It's in a different way. And I admit right now, it's nothing like touching my mom and hugging her. No, it's not like that. There's times where I've had a dream where I, you know, hug my mom and was with my mom. And when I get up, and it still happened today, I'll get up and start crying after a dream. So it's not that type of touch that we used to having, but it is a spiritual relationship then that you have with your loved ones. And they, you know, they won't bother you if you don't want to entertain with them. You know, you have to be receptive to your loved ones and know that they're not just this clay body, this body that we're in, that we're evolved and in other ways. So I just wanted to share my stories and continue to tell you that there is life after death, really in the sense that we're not dead when we die. When we pass on, we're in a different form. We're in a divine form and a different way, and we still communicate and we still have our thoughts, but we're not these bodies that we are now. We're disembodied, but we still can communicate. We're not gone. Our loved ones, really, guys, they're not gone. And that's what I got about this, is they're not gone. They're still communicating with me, and they'll communicate with you as well. And some of you guys probably already experienced this and more and beyond. What I said I experienced, you guys have probably experienced more than that. Maybe, you know, I've heard of people and my friends have said that they heard things falling, or I haven't experienced that off the walls or something like that, or, you know, different things and different experience. Everybody don't necessarily have the same experience, but if you're just open to it and keep your mind open to the fact that, yes, my loved ones are here. They do have mediums that, you know, I'm not a medium. I'm definitely not that. I'm not a medium. I you know, I don't contact them like that. But if I'm open to things, then, you know, if I'm open to the spirit, and I always pray over myself anyway, not that I believe in any entities. I just don't believe in that. Devil, I don't focus on the dark or the evil, you know, contact and nothing other than the divine, because that's all I'm about. I only contact, I pray. I said, Lord, just the energy of the divine only. That's all and that's all there is anyway. But I just say it anyway. The energy of divine only surrounds me with God, the truth, Jesus Christ, whatever. That energy, that Christ conscious energy, that divine energy that flows through me, through us, that's the energy that comes through. So when they come through, I know it's truth coming through. I know it's spirit coming through, because God is the source of all of it. You know, I'm going to get right back to it. It's the source of everything that's coming through is the divine. So I'm not afraid of anything. But like I said, I have gotten to, you know, it has gotten congested to me with the spirits too. I mean, it was just like, it felt like for a little while in my house, it was more spirits than I wanted to be honest with you. I didn't want to deal with that energy. It wasn't bad energy. I just said, I just end up saying, I shut down. I'll just tell you, and that's how you can do it. You know, I just shut down. I didn't really want to communicate at that time. And so it was just too much energy, if that makes sense. It wasn't bad energy. I just, at that particular time, I just didn't want to communicate with that many spirits, I guess, at the same time. I just kind of, and they left, you know, but it was positive energy. It wasn't nothing that I just felt congested at that time. It was a particular time in my house I felt congested, because like I'm telling you all these things, it was one after another. You know, I was contacted one after another. Different things. I know I had a dream that my girlfriend, the one that passed that I told you, I knew her father was passing before she knew. I don't know if he came to me in a dream or whatever, but it, in my dream, he had passed. And by the time she told me at work, I already knew that he passed. I just didn't say that. And my thing is always, when I have these dreams and things like this, I never really say anything. To me, if you're one of the ones that have dreams and stuff like that, I don't say it, because it can upset somebody. And it might have been just a dream. and it don't come to pass. So my method of dealing with it is I keep it to myself and I just let it unfold. If it unfold one day, then I say, you know what? I had a dream about that. I had a dream that your father passed. I had a dream, you know, this happened. I do not speak it before it happened. I do not say anything because it's, you know, it just could be a dream. It could be passing. It could be anything. And that's the lesson I learned. I don't want to upset people. I don't want to upset nobody. I don't want to even upset myself if I know something. And so I just kind of let the spirit move everything and let it unfold. And it unfolds in its own time. And then I could say to myself, okay, I got my confirmation. And sometimes I don't have my confirmation. Sometimes I just felt that somebody visited me or talked to me. And yeah, you don't need confirmation. They just talked to me like Marlon did, my friend's brother. He just said he was coming to the party. I didn't need confirmation for that. He just said he's coming to the party, and that was okay with me. He didn't have a message. He just told me he was coming. So I'm just coming with a message that our loved ones on the other side, yes, they are definitely around. They are definitely here. And they are nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to, because we're all this way. We're all spiritual. We're all spiritual beings. We all can relate. We're just encased in the bodies that's within us. But we're all spirit. So we're really on another level. We know this. We know this. And we're not afraid of this on another level because we know we all spirit. We know we all got to go home. We know they're home. And we can communicate now. We don't have to wait until we die to talk to our aunt or our uncle or our loved ones. You can talk to them now. You can even play one of their songs or, you know, whatever it is that make you feel good. Even if you don't see them like I do, remember, they always around you and they love you. They love you and they have a better understanding and insight of what they had when they were here because their spirit, they know what's going on. They're out of the game. Okay. And they are here to really help us and to teach us. So even your spiritual guides, like I said, your angels, all of them, they're here for us. You know, you can learn from them. And I just embodied it and just decided, okay, I'm open for it. And that's when it, you know, happened. I didn't really say it, but I was open for it in a way where after my mom and different things happened to me, I just was like, okay, I'm not going to be afraid of it. I'm going to interact. So once you make a decision, decide, okay, all right, I can hear from my mom. I can hear, I don't care how many years ago it was. I can still hear from my dad or communicate. It's possible. We still got love. They still have love. In the end, we're going to be together anyway. So you don't have to wait. You still keep that love alive for your loved ones because they still have it for you and they love you. And so I just, you know, wanted to share these stories and more about my story. I do have another one that my passing friend that died, I got to say this, that she, I know I'm all over the place, but I got to remember her. She passed away this year too. So I got to remember her story that I knew she was going to pass, but then, well, we thought everything was okay. And I'm just telling you about my dream. I thought everything was okay. I thought she was in remission. I didn't want to forget about her because she's a loved one too of my friends. And I don't want to, you know, forget about her, but she, we thought she was in remission with her cancer in 2014. We thought everything was okay. We thought everything was fine. And then here I had a dream before she had her, and it might be somewhere else, but I had that dream and I found out she had cancer, returning cancer. But anyway, I just wanted to say our loved ones is living. We alive and they are still with us, and I wanted to have that communication that we are still communicate with them. They are still communicating with us. We just need to be open. But I also want to say my next show is November the 30th, 2019 at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time. You can contact me at Divine Intervention, DTL@gmail.com. And I hope you guys have a good, nice week, and that you remember that you can contact your loved ones and that your loved ones love you. Good night.